Welcome back to another episode of More Happy Life. This is your host, Andy Proctor. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm excited to have another amazing guest. Dr. Julie Radlauer she's a leading expert in social connection and social support, which is right down my alley. I'm super excited to have her on. We're just like totally jamming today. And she uses her experience to create impact within communities, systems, organizations, and individuals. So, you know, I'm doing research. My advisor does research on social connection and health and the importance of it. She is one of the people who is just out there doing it. She is out there on the front lines practicing this stuff and helping people. Her approach is collaborative, creative, and curious as she strives to educate utilizing unique avenues, including media, stage production, video production, podcasting, and writing. She has extensive experience in behavioral health, public health, and organizational development for more than 25 years. She's a national expert in behavioral health, social support, and social connectedness, and uses this knowledge to further mental wellness. Research on structural racism is in the behavioral health field has led to the development of a national curriculum designed to create more equitable systems. She's passionate about addressing behavioral health challenges through her social influences of mental health research and speaks widely on the topic. She is just a lovely person to talk to as well. I'm really excited for you to be able to be witness to our conversation today and to hear the advice that she has and the really great tips on how to connect and how to and why these things are so important for mental health. So without further ado, I will bring Julie on the show. Welcome to another episode of More Happy Life, the podcast that will teach you how to trigger upward spirals of health and happiness in your life. I'm Andy Proctor, a happiness activist whose goal is to make your life more happy with science-backed strategies and powerful interviews. If you enjoy this episode, share it and let me know by tapping the stars in the reviews. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here, Dr. Julie Radlauer. So thanks so much. It's cool to connect and great to have you on. I think there's a lot of overlap between the work that you do and a lot of the things that I'm doing too. So it's really cool to have somebody in my tribe to chat with, right? So yeah, I'd love to just dive right in here. And have you talk about some of the things that you've been learning, but yeah, you are very, you know, involved in this social influences on mental health. Have given a TEDx talk about it, which is super cool. And yeah, so pretty fun stuff. So I'd love to hear you know, a little bit more, like how does social like what are the social influences on mental health specifically?
Okay, cool. Absolutely. Yeah, no, thank you for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to having this conversation. So I'm a licensed mental health counselor and a doctor of public health, and, you know, working in the behavioral health field, public, mostly behavioral health field, for the last, you know, 25 plus years. And always really kind of frustrated that, you know, well-intentioned and well-trained and educated professionals working with families, and we see families recycling through the system over and over and over again, people not getting better. And so to me, that was really frustrating. It's like, we're using these evidence-based practices, practicing that, you know, the way we should, and still not getting the outcomes that we're looking for. And so I started really, you know, as I was embarking on my research with my, to get my doctorate in public health, started really looking at like, well, what are the things that are preventing people from getting better? And it really comes down to those, you know, social determinants of health, you know, poverty and lack of access to education, and the inequities that we hear about in all of our systems, is really a barrier. And so I started really kind of looking at, you know, how many people need mental health treatment, formal mental health treatment, and how many people can have their mental health needs met outside of the clinical care setting. And there's a study out of Harvard that talks about really, 20% of the population needs formal mental health treatment, medication management, formal therapeutic services, the things that our tax dollars go towards in order to solve our mental health needs, which really means that 80% of the population who's struggling with mental health can have their needs met outside of the clinical formal clinical care setting. And so I started looking at, okay, so that's a lot more people that don't need formal treatment than do. And so what are the things that we can do to improve our mental health for that 80%? And that's where I landed on the social influences of mental health, or what are the everyday things that we can do in our world that will impact our mental health? And so the research that I do is on these social influences. So it's this combination of social connections, social support, that's different than social connections, social capital, which is access to resources. Social media is a huge one. And then social inclusion / social justice, looking at the greater good, the collective good. And so there's so much research in each of those five different influences or aspects that, again, brings us back to, if you can manage these aspects of your life, you can improve your mental health. And so that's really what I do, is try to speak to the larger population of people, that 80%, and also the 20%, because it's not either or. It's not you need mental, formal mental health treatment, or you need social connections. You really need both, So, how do we learn how to impact our mental health through our everyday actions?
That's really fascinating. I think that's so important to kind of break it down, right? And to see, okay, what are all these social elements that can help that greater population that is struggling with mental health, but may not, need formal mental health support. So how did you land on those five, the social connection, social support, social capital, social media, and social justice? I love those, right? And I study the social connection, social support. I came from a background of social media marketing before I started my PhD. So yeah, tell me a little bit more about why these five.
I really just came from research. I spent a lot of time, in my 25 plus years working in the field, recognizing social connection, social support, social capital. Social media has been emerging. And then looking at the information around inequities and disparities, that's really where social justice comes in, or social inclusion. I live in Florida, so I say social inclusion. That you don't live in Florida, you could say social justice. but looking at those different aspects of our lives, and again, there's so much research. I don't have to do original research, though I have, but I don't have to do original research around social support to talk about the benefits of having social support and how it improves your mental health functioning, or social capital, because those things have all been researched for a really long time. It's just the point of, we can take matters into our own hands, because we do have control over those things. And what I do on a daily basis, if I intentionally make social connections or lean into my social connections, I'm going to have a better day. And so knowing that, and then the same way that we practice, self-care, or whatever that looks like for you, whether it's exercise or whether that's eating healthy or sleeping well, whatever that looks like, making those everyday connections to people, whether it's a text or, in person's better, not always possible, but that will impact your mental health or influence your mental health.
Totally. I love that. Tell me a little bit more about what you're looking at with social media, kind of the pros and cons, the good, the bad. Just briefly, what is it? What's the scope of what you're looking at?
Yeah. It's so funny because I think that social connections and, you know, social capital, of course, social inclusion are much more important. But when I mentioned the five, people always go social media. You know, like, let's talk about that. Because I think we all recognize, you know, first of all, it's here to stay. And there are so many benefits to it. And also, you know, when you spend too much time on it or you're not using it in a productive way, it makes you feel blah. So a lot of the work that I do is educating youth, educating their parents, educating professionals, mental health professionals that work with youth and their parents around mental health challenges, you know, like how to use the power of social media for good instead of evil. And, you know, what does that sweet spot look like for you as an individual? And what are, you know, tangible techniques that you can use on an everyday basis to change your social media habits? You know, one of the things that I always do when I do training is I started off with, okay, go into the settings. Everybody pull out your phone, go into settings. How much time did you spend on social media in the last week? You know, and people are just shocked, you know, and then when you add it all up, it's like, what do you mean I spend 2 months out of every year on social media? You know, when you do the math.
Right.
With how many hours you spend in a day and how many days there are in a month and how many months there are in a year. And then once you do the math, you're like, oh my gosh, literally I lost 45 days, you know?
Yeah.
That's the people, you know, knowledge is power. So be aware of it. And then, so what are you going to do about it?
I love that. No, that's really, it is empowering, right? To be like, this is what I do. Do I want to do that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And if you do, if you're cool with that,
yeah,
then great. And if, yeah. and if you look at that and you go, no, that's not who I want to be, then, so then what kinds of changes do you have to make? Like, I've been in the process of, I'm almost ready to publish a book about 100 different techniques that you can use to improve your mental health through the social influences. And that includes a lot of activities around social media and social, building social connections and, you know, building social support and managing your social capital, you know, all of those things.
Yeah, no, totally. That's awesome. I'm excited for your book.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have to figure all that part out. That's a lot. So I have to figure
you
that
got
whole
this.
Piece out.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Well, so just recently, related to all this, right? Like, it was maybe less than a month ago, the US Surgeon General came out with this official advisory, right, on the importance of social connection, like the loneliness epidemic. How has that impacted what you're doing right now?
Oh my God, so funny. So literally it was the day before I was doing my TEDx talk. And of course my talk is about this. And so the day before I was like, oh my gosh, I just got scooped by the Surgeon General, you know, but you know, in reality, I'm so grateful that, you know, he has taken this message on. And he also at the same time put out something about social media. So it was a combination of social connection, social media, and it was like right in the same time period. And it's like, I mean, that's exactly what we need, is we need everybody talking about it. We need people who have large followings and large platforms to get the word out, you know, because there's so much amazing information in both of those advisories that really, when put in the hands of helping professionals, what I really love about the advisory around social connections is that they break it down into different, like, if you're a health professional, do this. If you're a parent, do this. If you're a student, a youth, do this. Yeah. So like there's tangible activities that you can do. Again, I'm all about like, tell me what to do, you know, like, don't just talk about it. Theory's nice, but I want to know, what can I do today? So, a lot of what was in there, I'm still digesting it. And of course, like you said, speaking to the choir, but really, really good stuff that I hope everybody takes the time to read, for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah. Super cool. It really was overwhelming to see the reaction, right? Like, or even just like the media reaction to it, and just, I mean, it was everywhere. It was crazy. So super cool to see that happen. And it's fun to be in it, and then to see, like, that's so cool that, yeah, like your TEDx talk, like you said, it was like 2 days before or a day before.
Yeah, it was right before.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like so incredibly timely. I could feel the buzz, you know?
Mm.
And then of course I put the, you know, the advisory out on social media, and people were like, oh my gosh, you've been posting about this for years and here it is. And I'm like, I know, I know, it's not just me. Like, a lot of people are saying the same thing, you know?
Yeah, no, it really does help to kind of, not that it doesn't need, not that it needs more credibility, but it's, you know, because there's tons of data, but it helps legitimize it. And it really, it just helps put the attention on it. So it's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
and that's your research too, though, right? I mean, you're doing research in the same space. So yeah, how did it impact you?
Well, so it's crazy because my advisor, Julianne Holt Lundstad, she was actually the lead scientist on that advisory. So she basically wrote it, right? Like, and for the Surgeon General. And so it was a big day for our lab, and
I can, you know, imagine
for her. And so it was just like, oh my gosh, it's happening. It was kind of overwhelming, to be honest.
I can imagine.
In a good way, right? But it was just, it was amazing to be like, wow, like it's everywhere. Like, it's all over the place. And so it made me happy. Absolutely. And it made me really excited that people are paying a little bit more attention. I mean, everybody talks about the, you know, 15 cigarettes a day kind of stat. But it was cool to, you know, have a higher level talking about it. So
I think too, I agree with you. Like, for me, I was, and that's great that you're working with her, you know, and I'm sure you were involved in that research, you know, which is awesome. I think it's really important because I do a lot of work with youth. My area really is more in like children's mental health. And of course that means their parents. And I think that that's really important for you when doctors are talking about it, medical doctors, because that does not only lend credibility, but then people pay more attention. You know, like people are like, well, wait a second, this affects my physical health too. You know it affects my mental health, but it affects my physical health, because I do a lot of training. And I usually start my trainings with, you know, you live longer, you have less risk of heart disease, you know, and I'll go through this whole list of things. And then say like, what am I talking about? Like, what's the secret sauce? What's, you know, and people are like, oh no, exercise, sleeping well. And I was like, no, social connection, like that's it. And people are just shocked by that, you know, you have all these physical ailments when you don't have connection in your life. And so I think that once you realize that, once you kind of have that aha moment of like, oh, wait a second, this is affecting both my mental and my physical health, then that coupled with, and just do this, because I do a lot of work with motivational interviewing, that's often the motivation for people, you know, is when they can see that there's going to be, they can impact their life.
Yeah, no, I love that. I always talk about it as like vitamin C, right? Like connection, right? Vitamin connection. Like,
cute. I like that.
Yeah, because it really can. And it's interesting because it's not just any connection, right? Like, it's like that focused, like intimate, close feeling of belonging, right? Like that sense of belonging, that being a part of other people. And I mean, every level of connection, I think, does have its benefits over complete social isolation, right?
Right. No connection, right?
There's like varying levels of quality, right? Like, that is important, the quality of connection. So you're talking about like the importance of what can we do, right? Like, what now, right? Like, people want to know what they can actually do about it. If this is so important for their health, which it is, right? Then what are some, you know, actual things they can do to improve their mental health through social connection? Like, maybe give us a couple of concrete go-tos. What would you say?
Sure. Well, I think, I think the first thing is to recognize like, what are the barriers? Because it's different for every person. A lot of our youth that have been through COVID, pre-COVID, and, you know, there's like lots of research around, you know, back in the 1980s, like we as a nation, as a people, you know, we had three strong connections, those strong ties, and now we're down to two, in today's day and age. And so like, our youth are probably less than that, because they were already on social media and they were already less connected just through communicating via text as opposed to in human form. And so they have a pretty big learning curve. I started off doing my research years and years ago with the autistic population. And with that population, like, you're really teaching social skills. Like, this is how you look. This is how you shake somebody's hand. This is how you, and that sounds like, okay, you would understand that for when you're dealing with a child who's on the spectrum, but many of our youth, we're kind of in the same place. Like, we have to really break it down into very small bite-sized pieces about pro-social activities, because even the language that they use, LOL, like, that's not a word. Right. It's not a word, yeah. But they use it as a word. And yeah. So, spending time really kind of helping them recognize and understand, like, what it means to be sociable, that when you're sitting, with a friend, that you don't take out your phone, that you're trying to connect in that way. And this is the thing, so I have my own children, and one of my sons, when he was in high school, he really wanted to be on social media. And I was like, no, we're just not going to do that. And so he came home one day and he was like, Mom, sitting at the lunch table with five people, and every single person at the table was on their phone communicating with everybody else at the table on Snapchat, and I don't have that app. And he's like, so I'm in human form, like I always say, I'm in human form with these people, but I can't talk to them because you won't let me have access to the communication tool that they're using. And he explained it probably just that way, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm holding him back from communicating with his people, And so I had to get with the times. But then that's a slippery slope, So yeah. I think, we have to recognize what it is, where the person's at before we know what kinds of tools they need, is my point to that kind of long story. So sometimes it's a matter of just saying, like, once a day, you're going to text somebody. If somebody who's completely isolated, once a day, you're going to text somebody. For somebody else, if they're having a hard time, making eye contact, then we might be focusing on, you need to sit down and make eye contact. I've done trainings before where a room full of hundreds of people, and I go, okay, turn to the person next to you. I'm going to set a stopwatch and stare into that person's eyes until I say stop. And people are like they can look anywhere but, because they don't know this person next to them, and they don't want to gaze in their eyes. And yeah. So that's all, you have to kind of know where you're at with people and what they need. But there's so many things that you can do to connect with people, to intentionally connect with people. Usually I'll talk to people about what are their interests and try to find a common interest, whether that's, walking the dog or cooking a meal or something, and make a connection that way. So, if you're a parent and you're trying to connect with your youth, your kids, go for a drive. I don't have to be sitting there staring at you, face to face and having a conversation. Some of the best conversations are the ones when somebody's behind the wheel, because you can't do that uncomfortable eye contact thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. No, it's so fascinating what you're talking about with, like, this is the way people communicate, this is the tool for communication, like Snapchat, right? And it's crazy. I think there's like a group dynamic effect that's going on and that has been going on, unfortunately, for years, right? In that sense, and it's hard to get around it. Like, and there's an interesting study, maybe you've already read it, but it's looking at like the American, so there's the American Time Use Survey that shows, social engagement going way down and social connection going way down, and like time with friends and time with family going like way down. It's kind of a depressing study over the last 20 years. And then there's another one that showed the loneliness levels going way up, like over the last, since 2012, there was like, boom, it just like went way up, which is, the same time when social media and smartphones became, like more mainstream in most countries. And it was a global study. And so it was interesting to see different countries and different regions and how they were different a little bit based on the adoption, like this like group dynamic of that. It's just an actual social norm to be on a smartphone or social media, right? Like anyway, so it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's yeah, like you said, it's here to stay, but I love that you're focusing on like reteaching social skills, like actual social skills. Like we need those. Everyone will need those.
Yeah.
Even if there is different way to communicate, like at some point, like you've got to just get off and look people in the eyes, right?
You know, and I also focus on the benefits of social media, like, because there are studies that say social media is not the reason for our loneliness and our isolation, you know? So it's
for sure,
depends on which study you read and who the author was and what their hypothesis was in the beginning. But I think we have to learn to recognize that it's here. And how do we use it for good? So like what I'll do when I'm working with groups of youth is say like online conversation, online chat, that is a challenge to go do something in person, you know? And then if you have to post it back online, you know what I mean? But at least use the chat to meet people in your local community and then go to that local event, you know? So learn to use social media as a tool. I will say, you know, because I do spend a lot of time around groups of kids, a lot of them are putting their phones down more than they used to. I don't know if it's just like saturation, like they recognize they're bored with it but it impresses me, you know, of course they do use it as a tool. Like they don't know anybody's phone numbers. They don't know, you know, but do they need to, you know, do they need to? But they're putting it down more than they were a couple of years ago. I'd say that.
That's cool. Hopefully it's not just a Florida thing, right?
It's possible. There's lots of things that happen here that don't happen other places.
No, that's hopeful though. That is really hopeful. Well, I just want to respect your time and thank you so much for being on the show and talking about these really important issues. I'd love to have you just, you know, talk a little bit about you know, some of the things that like people can do to take control of their happiness. Like what if somebody's listening today who just really wants to have more happiness in their life, like what advice would you give them?
Oh gosh. I mean, there's so many things that you can do. If I focus on the social influences, I would say is, you know, to focus on having one positive connection per day, like every day, something that you look forward to. I also think it's really important to not only use social support, but be supportive of others. So if I don't need something today, I'm going to try to find somebody in my circle that does need something and do something for them. Because that altruism, social support only works when there's reciprocity. So, you know, if I don't have a need, then I want to be be a benefit for somebody else. So every day have a social connection, you know, every day, either you need support or you're going to give support. When it comes to social capital, I like to say, try to get involved in your community. And whatever that looks like, even if it's just spending time outside in your neighborhood, or, you know, if there's some kind of a community event, being involved in your local community event, or doing something that's going to benefit, you know, the greater good in terms of like what, get involved with elections or voting or anything like that. Or making connections for people is a huge one for social capital. You know, if you have a friend that needs a job, trying to make those connections, use your capital to help others. Cool. Of course, when it comes to social media, just manage your time, whatever that should look like. Change your feed. You know, don't allow the algorithms of social media to determine who's a part of your life. So take control of that. If things that you're scrolling bum you out, then stop following them. Don't just take them out of your feed, then you won't have sense of life. And then when it comes to, you know, social inclusion, is try to think like, how can we support the greater good?
I love that. Thank you so much. This so inspiring, and I want to go do all those things right now. So that's really helpful. Thanks so much. And if people wanted to find your work or follow what you're doing, or reach out to you as a parent, right, who want you to come speak or, you know, present to their audiences, where can they find you and that?
I always love to say this on social media.
Right?
I always feel like such a hypocrite when it comes down to that, but I use it for good. Of course, you know, LinkedIn and Instagram and all those things. My website, and I can send you that information. You can put it in the notes, but you know, collectivelyus.org is my business organization, and then julieredlauer.com is my speaking email. And on social, you know, I don't spend a lot of time on social media. I have people, staff that post for me, because, you know, it gives me anxiety, actually. I don't like to be on social media.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's awesome. Thanks. Thank you for sharing all these amazing things. And it's fun to hang out with a fellow social connection, social support, you know, preacher, I guess you could say.
Exactly. Exactly. A social connection geek, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So thank you for your time today.
Yeah.
And for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for geeking out with me.